The Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Hallelujah. God is God. Praise the Lord. And God don't ever change. God is God. And He always will be God. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, oh God, Thou art the same. Praise the Lord. We're going to take a break from the questions for just a little bit, though as late as Sunday, I'm still having some questions submitted. Go a little different direction for a little bit. So if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and then we are going to pray when we stand in just a moment for the reading of the Word. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray over the Word, but before we do, some of you might have received the news, but some great people of God, and they've filled in here for us and held a revival or two here, and just some great people, praise the Lord, of God. Brother and Sister Brand. Brother Brand was having surgery this week and passed away. And so let's remember that family in prayer tonight. Also, she's going to be okay, but Sister Chrisman fell again today. And let's remember her in prayer as well. We have a plethora of needs, and we got a list on our bulletin we've been praying for. Yes. Brand. Kenneth and Vera Brand, most of you know them, and I'm sorry, yes, Brother Brand it was, yes. Let's stand and let's pray for these needs and pray over the preaching of the Word tonight. Father, we are Your people, and our faith spans two worlds, Lord. God, we know, Lord, what You have prepared for those that love You. Lord, be with this family, be with Sister Brand and Mark and Kenneth and Jason and their families, Lord, tonight. God, I pray You would comfort them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray for Sister Chrisman, Lord, You would touch her tonight and give her strength. Oh, God, I pray. Lord, the many needs that's represented by this group of people, Lord, that it be evident that You're at work meeting those needs and blessing and touching and delivering and healing and saving. And God, will give You the glory for Your work amongst people, that men would know that there is a God in heaven who's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think. Now, Lord, bless our time and Your Word together, Lord. Accomplish things by Your Holy Spirit who inspired the Word to be written. God, we commit the time together in Your name. Amen. God bless you. You can go ahead and be seated. I'll be reading the text in just a minute. I decided not to read it on the outset here. I feel like for just a little bit, I want us to go to Ephesians 6 a few Wednesday nights and talk about the armor. Now, there's only one reason you need armor, and that is you're in a battle, right? You don't wear armor to a grocery store. You don't, you know, you don't wear it to work in the garden. You don't do it on a pleasure cruise. You wear armor because there is a battle. Here's the scripture, and you can just follow along. I know you can read, but I just want to read it to you tonight. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's applicable today. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, not cave in, not give up, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's actually this verse I just read, the last verse of this portion, that directed me to this portion of Scripture. God began to speak with me of the necessity of intercessory prayer. Just praying for needs until we pray the thing through, until we get a witness. And then I found myself backing up. Tonight we're going to look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I failed to put this in the slide, but I want to preach tonight on the strength for the soldier. Strength for the soldier. Now I tell you, fighting the enemy requires armor. But first and foremost, fighting the enemy requires that the soldier be strong. Be strong. Yes, we need the armor, but we need to be strong. Notice the words that reference power and strength here. There's strong, there's power, and might. Just in one short verse, Paul said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Amen. That's a lot of strength. That's a lot of power, a lot of vigor, a lot of ability. And this is what God wants for us in our lives, in our battle with the enemy. We don't have to battle the enemy from a standpoint of weakness and inability and insufficiency. We do have an enemy, but we can face him with strength, with power, with might. Hallelujah. No one has to be a weak Christian. Wow. I said nobody has to be a weak Christian. Because there's strength, there's power, there's might. Amen. So we're going to talk about the armor of God, and tonight in particular the strength for the soldier. Paul, he was probably chained to a Roman soldier, and so that's what he had in mind. This is a more modern day soldier. He's in full body armor and helmet. And so maybe today you think of those terms, but the thing you can tell about both these individuals 2,000 years apart is that they're prepared for battle. But what I want you to imagine just for a moment is to take the men out of this picture. Okay? Just take the men out. You just be left with armor, right? How many's ever heard the expression an empty suit? Have you heard that recently? Okay, an empty suit is somebody that has a lot of polish. They sound good, they look good, but there's no substance. There's no core. There's nothing really there on the inside. Well, I don't want you to think of empty suit, but I want you to think of an empty set of armor, much like you would see at a museum. It's just standing there, it's a display, but there's nobody in it. Now here's the thing. Many times we get to these verses on the armor and we get right into that helmet of salvation and that shield of faith and that breastplate of righteousness and that the belt of truth and all of these things. We get caught up in this wonderful armor. But the point is, the armor, as wonderful it is, the armor is nothing without somebody inside it. And that's why Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There can be a wonderful armor, but what use is it if someone is cowardly or too weak to use it? And so this whole thing begins not with the wonderful armor of the Lord, but with this: we need to be strong. There is an armor to use against the enemy, but first of all, we need strong people within the armor. And He gives us that strength. Some of you have seen cartoons, most of you have, where the armor becomes animated with no one inside it. That's not the way it is in reality. That's the cartoon world. In the real world, if an armor is going to be effective, somebody has to be inside of it. Somebody that wants to fight. Somebody that's able to fight. That's the only way armor does any good. And so these verses say, yes, we need this armor. Yes, we need to put this armor on. But first of all, these verses tell us, if we're weak, God puts the strength in us so that we can use the armor. Hallelujah. That's what He wants to do for us tonight. Did you know life is a struggle? You probably didn't know that, and I don't want to disappoint you, but life is a struggle. Even if there were not catastrophes and temptations and Satan and people that get on your nerves, life is still a struggle. In fact, did you know a baby struggles to be born? He begins his life struggling. Am I right? A mother struggles to give life to a baby. And so our lives begin with struggling. Struggling. Our lives are filled with struggles, with a battle. Amen. You see, and so what I want to tell you tonight, our goal then as believers is not to escape struggle. Our goal is not to escape the battle. That is impossible. That cannot be done. So our goal is not to escape the battle. Our goal is to be victorious. I think we spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of dreaming, thinking of how we can escape the battle. Get out of the battle. Avoid the conflict. But with the Christian, we ought to realize, number one, we can't do that. But number two, we don't have to be looking for escape from the battle. We can have victory in the battle. Hallelujah. I still believe He's going to come after overcomers. Those that have had struggles and they've overcome. Did you know everybody battles, but everybody doesn't have the same battle? You don't need to look around, but I promise you, everybody in this building that has an ability to think is facing a battle of some kind. Right? If they're awake, if they're having brain waves, understand they have a battle. We all battle. We don't all have the same battle. But I believe what Scripture teaches, we each have a winnable battle. We can win. All we need is the armor of God and the strength to use it. And He's promised both to us. Not only has He told us there's this wonderful armor, but He said we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Even you say, no, wait a minute. You talked about avoiding the conflict. Can't one just decide they don't want to fight? Can't somebody just check out and say, I just don't want to fight? Well, in one sense, yes. But if you're going to try to avoid the fight, you need to be prepared. Because if you don't want to fight the bully, be prepared to fork over your lunch money to him. And the bottom line is, if you don't want to fight this enemy, be prepared to pay a high price. And to concede, and to concede, and to give, and to give the things over to the enemy. I'm telling you, it may be a tough prospect, but I'm telling you, the enemy isn't to be avoided. He's to be encountered. He's to be faced. He is to be fought. Amen. Why does Paul say in these verses, why does Paul say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? You know, I've started reading Scripture completely different several years ago, but simply asking, why would he say something like that? And I'll tell you why he said be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. It's because oftentimes we feel weak. That's why he said it. He was talking to believers, be strong. Why did he tell them to be strong? Because many times we as Christians, we feel weak. I'll tell you something else. It's not just that we feel weak sometimes. It's that we are weak. Many times. And so Paul said be strong in the Lord. There are things that weaken us. There are things that sap our strength. We see the battle ahead and we feel weak. Therefore, Paul said, be strong in the Lord. Oh, I wish I could get across to some folks. Quit letting the enemy have his way. Stand up and fight him. Yes, Pastor, but I'm too weak to do it. Yes, you are, but he will give you strength. He will give you power. You could be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, there's a terminology we don't use very often anymore, but we used to talk about strong Christian and weak Christian. You know, they're a strong Christian. They're a prayer warrior. They're a soul winner. They're a weak Christian. They give in to every temptation. They allow the enemy to run over them. And we don't hear that a lot, and we're not here to grade Christians. But I want you to know, in reality, we can be a weak Christian. We can't. Any of us can choose to be a weak Christian that gives in, that gives up, that gives out. Or we can choose to be a strong Christian that stands up, that sticks up, that stands against, that overcomes. Amen. We can be strong. Why? Because we got some secret? No. He has promised that we could be strong in the Lord. He wouldn't have told us to be strong in the Lord if we couldn't be. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this subject of strength, this message here about being strong, means nothing until we first realize that we're weak and we need that strength. You know, Samson, I started to spend more time with this illustration, but I'll leave it with this. Samson never realized his loss of strength until the enemy was upon him and he shook himself to go and do battle with that enemy. And we never realize our lack of spiritual strength until the enemy's in our face. But if the enemy's in our face and suddenly we recognize we are weak, don't run. Don't give up. Say, oh Lord, I need your strength. I need your power. And I can be strong in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a child, and they're back there, but if you're a young teenager, if you're a mom, a dad, male, female, educated, uneducated, it doesn't matter. You can be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself. Hallelujah. But in the Lord. That's what we need before we ever consider the armor. I've heard folks say, I just feel so weak anymore. Talking about physically. They say, I just don't seem to have any strength in my hands or my grip or my arm or my legs. Amen. And that may be true spiritually as well. But we can be strong in the Lord. Amen. I thought this, and I'll just share it with you. Sometimes we talk about how fierce the battle is. We talk about what a great temptation we're facing, or a great trial that we're facing. Did you know sometimes I don't think it's that our battle is overly fierce. I just think we've grown a little weak. Think about it. Just be honest. I mean, look at the things believers have faced throughout the history of Christianity. Tremendous things. And you know, I'm not trying to minimize anything. I'm making a point. But you know, sometimes we get a bill we don't expect and we have a flat tire and oh, the devil's after me all day long. Praise his holy name. And oh, everything's bad. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. And maybe it's not that our battle is so fierce. Maybe it's that we've just grown weak. And if we have, we can be strong in the Lord. As one man said, when you get strong in the Lord, you'll charge hell with a water pistol. Well, I don't know if we want to be presumptuous or not, but it makes a difference when you feel His strength at work in you. Hallelujah. So we've got to be strong if we're going to survive. If we're going to overcome the enemy, we need this strength that Paul is talking about. We are under attack. And we'll get to this another night, but the armor can withstand any attack if we have the armor on. The armor can withstand any attack if we've got the strength to wear and to use it. Amen. There is strength for the battle. Paul said, be strong. I've laid that foundation that's going to be longer than all the rest of the sermon. But I want you to consider here when Paul says, be strong in the Lord. To me, that be strong, he can mean three things. And I want to share those with you as we finish tonight, we need this strength. What did Paul mean by be strong? First of all, I believe he means have courage. Have courage. I probably only catch you maybe once a year, but I happened to hear James Dobson. It was an old program, and they were talking about how the way that people have been raised for the last generation, that it's a sad thing. I know there's many exceptions, but as a rule, males no longer take initiative. Males no longer in our society stand up and be leaders and be brave and say, this is the way we're going to. Listen, I'm telling you, when Paul said be strong, he was saying have courage. There are things to be fearful of. There are things that we don't know how we're going to get through them. There are things that seem to be overwhelming. There are dark clouds on the horizon. There are things and battles that the odds are completely against us. But when he says be strong, he's saying have courage. Over and over our Lord said fear not. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, amen, we need some courage. You ever feel like this little kitten here? I wish I could have turned him around. But everywhere you look, there's an enemy. I mean, the enemy is everywhere around you. But look, he just seems so brave. He's in no hurry. I just wish I could have had him facing off against him. Amen. But the first thing is, amen, no matter how intimidating the enemy may seem to be, we need to be strong. We need to have courage in our heart. Be of good cheer. Fear not. Have courage. I want you to know things may look frightening, but we're on the right side. We have the captain of our salvation, and we can be strong. We can take courage no matter how bad things. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to be fearful. We don't need to turn and run. We can face the enemy and have courage. How do we have courage? How does that happen? Well, one more illustration here. I'd hate to be, if you know chess, I'd hate to be that pawn. But you can look at him. He's going to face off against the overwhelming odds. That's having courage right there. Amen. How do we do it? I believe it's a matter of determination. Determination. You've heard me say many times, it's getting to be a lot of times, isn't it, over the year. But the things that people quit serving God over, listen to me, the things young people quit serving God over, all of us, you can go to heaven and talk to many people that made it to heaven and they faced the same things and never gave up. The things people quit church over, the things people leave their faith over, you can go to heaven and heaven is filled with folks that face the same thing. But the difference is they had a determination in their heart. Even as a child, that hymn spoke to me that said, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me. On him I can depend. You say, well, we need a modern song. Well, maybe so. But I was just a child and it spoke to me that I can be determined whatever I face. I can be determined. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving out. I'm going to face it. I'm going to overcome. Listen, the folks you see that serve God and are strong in the Lord, it's not because they don't have any battles to face. It's that when they have a battle, it's not that they don't ever have doubts or fear. It's not that they don't ever even have an inner struggle with the reality of the thing, but there's something about them that when they started out to serve Jesus, they made a commitment and they are determined that whatever comes, it doesn't matter what comes, they're not giving up. That's being strong. That's having courage. It's determination. Determination. I heard it said recently, and I tend to believe it, America's got herself into some wars, and it's not that America cannot win wars today. It's that those in leadership and the American people don't seem to have the resolve to fight and to win. I'm not making a political statement, it's an illustration. But I'm convinced that if America had a resolve to win some battles, turn some things around, she could do it. It's in determination. Be strong. Have the courage, the will to fight. The best armor in the world does no good if one doesn't have the will to fight. How many knows too many give up too much without fighting? I was reading a book a while back. I shared a few illustrations from it about the settling of the Southwest. Of course, before we Europeans, or let me back up, we Americans from the colonies made our way to the Southwest. I'm talking about Texas and Oklahoma, New Mexico and Arizona. Of course, the Indians already had civilizations there for centuries before. And then since the 1500s, the Spanish had come up and had settled that area. They had a governor out there over that land. Well, I believe he was colonel then. He might have already been general, but General Kearney took about 3,000 men, began to march from Missouri, began to march down to that area. He was going to conquer that territory there that is now Arizona and New Mexico and Texas and parts of California. He was going to conquer that. Now, here's the thing. He had 3,000 men, but his men weren't accustomed to terrain. They didn't know the land. And the governor, I can't remember his name right now, but the governor of that area, of course he was a Mexican or a Spanish, the governor of that area had much greater forces. Not only did he have greater forces, he had Indians that would fight with him, Native Americans. And not only that, he had a place on the trail that General Kearney had to come with his men. It was a canyon that they had, the trail went through. They had to go through that canyon. He had it set up with all kinds of cannons and all kinds of barricades and just a lot lesser force up in the sides of that canyon with their guns up in the rocks could have held off 10,000 men. And he got all his men there, and they loaded the cannons in the canyon, and he got the men in there up in the behind the barricades on the sides of the canyon, and they have their rifles, and he's got them outnumbered. He's got the defenses, he's got the advantage in every way, and they're waiting for General Kearney and the Americans, the 3,000 Americans to come. But you know what? Before the Americans got to the canyon, the Mexican governor gave up without firing a shot, and surrendered. Now, I know you're glad they did, or we wouldn't have those states today, probably. But there was no reason to give up. He could have, the way you figured it on paper, there's no way he could have lost. He could have wiped out the Americans right there in that canyon, but he just gave up. Sent out a man with the white flag and sued for terms of surrender, and surrendered that whole territory. When he had the advantage in every way, what he was lacking was courage. Be strong. Have courage. Have determination. And here's the scripture. They used to learn this in Abeka, the Abeka curriculum when they got to Q, wasn't it? Quit ye like men. There it is. Be strong. Be courageous. Have some courage about you. And I don't know about the slang or anything, but you know, today you hear folks talking about man up or cowboy up. You know, it's time some Christians be strong. Amen. We don't have to give in to every attack of the enemy. Have some determination. Be strong. I think secondly, to be strong in the Lord means to be empowered. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's a big engine and a little car. You know, that car is not going anywhere without an engine, but I'm telling you, it's going somewhere with an engine like that. But some guy had to put that engine in there. I'm pretty sure it didn't come with the package. Of course, cars don't mean anything to anybody anymore, young people anymore, right? But that used to would have been something, wouldn't it, Brother Metzger? I guarantee you that didn't come with the package. Somebody put that in there. And you know, that body wouldn't have to be painted that brilliantly. It could be... the body could be beat up and a little rusted, but if it's got an engine like that in there, it's going somewhere. I'm trying to say the sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it's of God. I'm trying to say we don't have a whole lot, but He can put something in us to give us a whole lot. You see, be strong means to be empowered, but that's a matter of faith. We must believe we can have the strength of God. That's the only way it comes. It comes when we believe His Word. It's not necessarily an emotion. It's not necessarily a feeling. It's not necessarily you say, well, I feel strong. But you realize that the Bible says that He will give us strength. The Lord will strengthen you, and you believe that by faith. You say, I don't have the resources. I don't feel strong. But He said He will strengthen me. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are but branches. You know what that means? The vine puts the sustenance, puts the sap in the branch. The branch is nothing by itself. You cut the branch off, it withers and dies. But Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are but branches. And without me, you could do nothing. And you just believe that, and you believe He's going to put the strength and the power to overcome in you. It's faith. Believe Him that He will do it. I thought it was really interesting. The word be strong in the Lord is this Greek word here. It comes from two Greek words. In means in, and dunamao means power. We get a word dynamite. Dunamis. Dynamite from this. Power. So it's power in. Power moving in. Amen. In other words, Paul said, have the power put in you. Be enabled. Be empowered. Or let me put it more simple. He will put His power in you. Believe that. Whatever you face, Sister Brock, we can believe He will empower us. He will put the power to face what we got to face. He will put it in us. It's time we believe the Lord. The word looks different, but it's the same word. Look what Paul said. Isn't this a wonderful promise? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Same word when Paul said, be strong in. Be strong in. Same word. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He said, oh great, I want to be a millionaire. I'll claim that verse. I want to bench press 650 pounds. I'll claim that verse. No, if you read the context, I can do all the things He wants me to do by His strength. And if we're doing His will, if we're living for Him, we can believe that He's going to strengthen. Could we just read that all together? Let's do that. Let's personalize it. Let's go. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Believe it. He puts the power in us. Amen. Did you know there's no strength or power that we can self-generate to face what we got to face? I've got a saying, when someone wants to do something the hard way. You ever known someone like that? Wants to do something the hard way. I don't know. Some folks are like me. I work harder trying to find an easier way to do something. Is anyone like that? You work harder trying to find an easier way to do it. But I've got a saying. Why use an axe when you got a chainsaw in the garage? I like it. It means something to me, maybe not to you. But why would you want to go out there and hack when just with a few, you're through the thing? And it's sitting right out there in the garage. Well, you know, some Christians, I'd like to ask them, why are you using an axe on that thing when you could be using a chainsaw on it? You know, we've heard it as a joke. But it really happened. I've been reading that book about the son of Violet that was killed with the other four missionaries in Ecuador. And he talked about how when God moved on his heart to move down there in the very middle of that jungle and to build an airfield, which wouldn't be asphalt, just be grass and dirt right there in the jungle, that finally he got that together and he got three or four chainsaws. Of course, those Wadani Indians, they had never seen a chainsaw. They were amazed when he started those things up. And so he started them up. He showed them how to use it. And then he sent those men out to clear the trees for that airstrip, you know. And this one Indian, he came back and he was sweating and he was all upset. He came back and he said, I can cut more trees down with my machete than with this thing. And so the missionary asked me, well, did you do this? Did you start? He started up. And that Indian went over and turned that chainsaw off. He said, I don't like to hear that. He said, here's the way I use it. And he took it without the chainsaw running, took it to a tree and was sawing with the chainsaw. I thought it was a joke, but he really did it. He said he'd rather have his machete. Well, you know what? There is so much power we could have as believers if we would believe Him to put the power in us. Amen. With our Christian experience, it's like us, some folks, it's like them taking that chainsaw and without that chain running and turning, without the engine on, just moving it back and forth. I don't know if you've ever tried it. That's pretty tough work. Just moving the chain. Amen. Isn't it a relief when we get the engine started? I want you to know He can start the engine of this thing, of your Christian experience. Be strong in the Lord. And again, it's a matter of faith. Nothing we have in ourselves is sufficient to withstand the attack of our enemy. It doesn't matter how intelligent we are. It doesn't matter how strong-willed and stubborn we are, or self-disciplined or experienced. Amen. We still need His strength. Be strong. Let Him give you the power. Amen. Let Him give you the power. A few more verses. Wherefore I also labor. I love this verse. I labor striving, Paul says, according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. You know what we need? We need His working in us. Look what Paul said. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You may feel weak. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm strong. Oh, excuse me, I didn't read that right. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Because He gives the strength. Lastly tonight, be strong in the Lord. It means to take courage. To be strong in the Lord means to be empowered. But last of all, to be strong in the Lord means to seek readiness. In other words, to get prepared. To get prepared. If you look at this picture, you can say somebody made preparation for the enemy. Doesn't that look like a strong fortress to take? Even with modern weaponry, it would be tough. Because somebody made ready. Somebody prepared. Be strong. Seek readiness. This is a matter of devotion. It's not a word we use a lot in church anymore, but disciplines. I'm talking about consistent Bible reading, consistent personal prayer time, consistent denying the flesh and the desires and the attraction of the world. Be strong. Be ready. You know, I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced the battle is always won or lost way before it's ever fought. I'm talking about spiritual battles. Spiritual battles are won or lost long before they're ever fought. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you know, one of the things that when folks go to war, they want to know the strength of the enemy. And that's their arsenal, that's their weaponry, but it's also the strength of their position. And a position is strong because they made it strong. They took pains of preparation. Preparation not only to gather their armor and to gather their weaponry, but also to fortify their defenses. And I believe we can do that before the attack of Satan actually begins. There are things we can do to ready ourselves, and that readiness is our strength. Hallelujah. You know, you, and I recommend this for all believers, but if you'll have personal time with the Lord every day you will not hear angelic choirs. Every day the glory of the Lord will not come down in a cloud and God speak to you in an audible voice. There'll be days you'll fall asleep trying to stay awake reading your Bible. There'll be days you'll try hard to rein in your mind and to pray and to seek the Lord, and you'll feel like you have gotten nowhere. But I promise you, if your attitude and motive is right, if you will have personal times with the Lord, what you are doing, you are readying yourself for the attack of Satan when it comes. You are making yourself strong against the enemy. And so to be strong in the Lord is these three things. Number one is to have courage. That's a matter of determination. Number two is to be empowered. That's a matter of faith. You believe God to do what He said He would do. And thirdly, to be strong is to be ready, to be in a state of readiness. And that is a matter of preparation through devotion to God. Personal time with God. Amen. We get bogged down in the constancy of the battle that we face. And we forget that there is a victory. And we can overcome. And we can defeat the enemy. And we can triumph. Why? Because we can be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. So I'm going to tell you, I don't know your battle, but I want you to know there's strength for your weakness, my weakness. There's power for the powerless. And there's might to the lowly. I liked it in the song, young people, you just sang, I humble myself. That's the way to strength. That's the way to be strong in the Lord. Remember that story I told you about the bully some time ago? I don't know if you remember, but this man, he's a man now, but he was recounting that when he was a young boy at school, this bully would bully him every day and demand money, and he would just reach in his pocket and give his money to the bully. One day he got tired of it, so he noticed as he went through the neighborhood that there was a place there in the strip mall where they were advertising one of those buildings and they gave karate lessons. He said, that's what I'll do. I'll take karate. And when that bully comes to get the money, I'll let him have it. So he went and started taking karate lessons, went okay for a few lessons, and then he got to figuring the karate lessons, this was some years back, the karate lessons were $5 a lesson. He said, $5, I give $5 to my karate instructor. That's more money than I was giving to the bully. I'll just quit taking karate and just give the money to the bully. It's less money. In other words, he said, I'd rather pay the bully than to pay the one that's going to give me the ability to overcome the bully. Do you know a lot of Christians have made that same decision? They'd rather let the enemy run over them. They'd rather just give and concede and concede to the enemy than to do whatever it takes to go to the instructor and let him give them the power that they can overcome the bully. Are you tired of paying the bully? Don't you think it's time to fight him? And many times, don't ever forget this, you're faced with the decision. Will you pay the bully or are you going to fight him? I'll tell you, you can fight him because the Lord will give you strength. And you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, I feel weak. You're in the right place. The Lord wants to strengthen you tonight. Amen. Would you come, music? Let's stand across the building. Let's thank Him that He does give us strength. When we feel weak, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power. Amen. All over the building, let's just thank Him. Let's reach up by faith. Maybe right now you begin to say, Lord, I've been weak. I've been trying to overcome, but I've been weak. The enemy has been working his will in my life. The enemy has been coming against me and gaining ground in my life. I've been weak, but oh God, tonight I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Lord, help us to know that strength. First of all, Lord, give us courage. Secondly, Lord, give us faith that You might empower us. And thirdly, Lord, help us to be devoted, to commit our lives, living our lives in devotion to You. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you like more strength from the Lord, would you come? Let's gather around the front and say, oh Lord, I want to be strong for the battle. I want to be strong for the battle. I want to overcome. I want to be victorious. I want to be strong for the battle. Hallelujah. Be strong. Hear the voice of Paul as you come. Hear the voice of the apostle. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can overcome. You can triumph. You can be strong in the Lord. Oh, just admit to Him. Say, Lord, I feel weak. Lord, I need You tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, give me strength. Give me the strength and the power of the Lord. Glory to God.